With me to Galatians chapter 4 this morning, and this is a lot of times I've done, I know in the past out on our website we've got countdown to Christmas, a lot of different messages of Christmas, and I hadn't done any yet, and so this is our Christmas message today. Galatians chapter 4. If I can get there. I'm glad that Jesus came. I'm glad he came. He had to have known before the incarnation his assignment, and I think he had to be willing. You know, the idea is that the three bear witness. They are the Trinity are always in agreement. So, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your word. Open our hearts today to see what you have for us in Jesus' name. Galatians 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. That's powerful, isn't it? Now, I really can't even begin to comprehend what heaven's like, or we can only imagine, as the song goes, as Karen mentioned in Sunday school. But if you'll allow me to just do a little speculating this morning, this statement, when the fullness of time had come, means that it was on God's calendar, so to speak. I realize calendar is not an eternal term for the Eternals, but it was on the earth's calendar, and God knew at a specific time it was time to send his son into the world. I would like to just ponder, if you will allow me for a minute, maybe what it was like leading up to that event. The angels are talking among themselves. This is the part that we've been waiting for. Now, these angels are eternal beings, so they've seen the creation of man. They've seen the rebellion of Lucifer. They've seen the expulsion of man from paradise. They've been on assignments. One of them killed 180,000 Syrians in one night. One of them was there in the various places of the events of the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You know, Jacob's ladder, seeing the angels ascending and descending to the throne of God. And so they are in total knowledge and understanding that now we have come to the day, the time on the earth, when God is sending forth his son. Now, you know, we are preparing for a 1 hour, maybe less, play. And there's a lot of preparation. We've went over the scripts. We've modified the scripts. We've talked about the music. We've met more than once. We're going to be building props and scenes and so it would be naive to think that in the annals of the eternal heavens that there wasn't some pre-preparation, pre-work, pre-thought going on in the minds of angels. And them saying among themselves, this is it. Man's redemption is at hand. God is sending his son to the earth tomorrow at 3 o'clock or whatever. Again, don't laugh, Abby. You understand, we're putting it in human terms. And so, to me, that I would like to have been there. Wouldn't you like to have been there and just eavesdrop on what happened? Now, taking this passage a little farther, so it was the fullness of time. It was the right time. It was God's appointed time to send forth his son. And the plan was you know, the Goel, the kinsman redeemer, born of a woman. He had to be born of a woman. It's the only Jewish legal way that mankind could be redeemed, as he would be born of a woman. Mary asking, how can this be? The Holy Spirit will come on you, girl, and that thing which be born of you will be called the Holy Son of God. And he will be born under the law, because he is born in the world. The law is still the law. Jesus didn't come to replace the law, but to fulfill it. Aren't you glad? And his mission was to redeem those who were under the law. Now, Paul mentioning in Romans, in his dissertation about sin, that it's not me that does it, it's sin in me. And he said if there was no law, then there would be no transgression. And man was still a sinner, but he really wasn't condemned, the Bible teaches, until the law came that condemned him. And when the law came, Paul said, then I died spiritually. So Jesus came at the fullness of time, born of a woman, the Goel, the kinsman redeemer, and he was born under the law so that he could redeem those who were under the law, because the law was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Hallelujah. The law says you're a sinner. Now, you know, people out there, they don't come to Jesus because they don't think they're a sinner. They say, I'm not bad. I haven't killed anybody. But everybody who's ever been born, has, like Jesus, who was born under the law, but the only exception is Jesus did it without sin. Amen? And so in the fullness of time, when it was God's timing, Jesus came and he lived the sinless life to under the law, to destroy the works of the law, that he might receive, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Good news. Now I want to go ahead and go back to Luke chapter 2 in our reading this morning, as we are celebrating this time of year. And look again at Luke 2. Most of us can quote it. I didn't realize until I got saved at the age of 19 that I already knew some Bible verses, and they were taught to me by a character by the name of Linus in the Charlie Brown special every year when he quoted Luke chapter 2. And I was like, hey, I remember those verses. I used to watch Linus say them every year. So in Luke chapter 2, we have the story of Mary being told that she's going to have a child and going to name him Jesus. And then we come down to verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Now remember the assignment of the angels. So the angels, you know, oh, this is the time. This is the time. And so, you know, we'll call him Gabriel, right? And he says, okay, I need you 350,000 angels. This is it. Got a job for you to do. I'm going to go down and make this announcement, and then you guys get to fly all overhead, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, for effect. For effect, right? Right, because this is a big deal. This is not us killing a bunch of Syrians. This is not us, you know, revealing to Balaam's donkey that ourselves so that he doesn't get killed. This is the announcement of the king. This is the event. And so the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. And, of course, they were obviously greatly afraid. We can't really imagine that. I mean, we can read what God said in his word, greatly afraid. But, you know, what would that look like? Wah! You know, I mean, they were freaked out, right? And then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings. great joy. Great joy. I think those of us who have been saved for a while, we forget what great joy sometimes looks and feels like. I have to go back to when I got saved to remember, oh yeah, great joy. I remember great joy. And sometimes when we have communion here and I shed a tear and I thank God for his sacrifice, I feel it again, great joy. And we don't ever want to lose that, because it is salvation. It is redemption. It is forgiveness. And the angel says, don't be afraid. This is not something that needs to be fearful. I'm bringing you good tidings of great joy, and it's not just for you. It's to be for all people. I don't know what the population of the planet was back then, quite a bit less than today, but it's still good news. Amen? I said it's still good news. And then he tells them what the good news is. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, remember, New Testament translated from Greek to English. If this was written in Hebrew, translated to English, like the Old Testament, it would say Messiah, right? In your reading, is Adonai a Lord? Okay, so it would probably say Messiah the Adonai, something along that lines. It's the same thing. It's just translations. Christ the Lord. So this good news, these angels, they got to be a part of it. I'd like to find them when we get to heaven. Tell me what it was like that day when you announced to those shepherds. They'll probably say, you should have seen the look on that guy's face. When he finally got up off the ground, shaking, he heard me. You know, I mean, I want to know, what was it like to be there and to see and to hear these things? And this good news isn't just to you, it's to the whole planet, it's to all people this day, because in the city of David, the Messiah has been born, the Savior who will save people from their sins. And this will be the sign to you, you'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Now, I'm sure the lead angel, Gabriel, whoever, said, now, when you hear me say the phrase, lying in a manger, that's your cue, right? And so they're all out of sight, you know, they can make themselves visible, invisible. And they're all, I don't know how many there was, what did I say earlier, 30,000? 350,000, yeah, that may be too much, I don't know. When you hear the phrase, in a manger, that's your cue. And suddenly, there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts. That's how many there was, a multitude. Of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, I don't want angels to outdo me, so I'm going to just go ahead and say it. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is Christmas. This is the time of year where we remember the message of the announcement of the birth of God's Holy Son. Glory to God. It was a birth announcement. Today people send a little card, maybe it's blue or it's pink, announcing the birth, and they say how much he weighed. There's no weight in here. God didn't seem fit to record that he was 8 pounds and 10 ounces. Oh, but he did record he's the Savior of the world. Glory to God. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of me. He's the Savior of you. Glory to God. That was the message of the angels. That's good news. And the second part was goodwill, peace, goodwill toward men. I've not verified it, but I've been told that historians have said that on that particular day, on that particular month, in that particular year, that was one of the few times on the entire planet there were no wars anywhere going on. There literally was peace on earth. Well, how did that happen? Was that a coincidence? No, it was the fullness of time. It was prearranged by God the Father. And so when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherd said, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Now, they didn't say, "See this person." When I saw that the first time, that kind of bugged me. Why didn't they say, "See the baby"? You know, they announced that the Messiah has been born. Because the thing, what is the thing? The thing is, I don't go to hell. The thing is my salvation. You know, they understood probably better, and they're shepherds, than people who read the text, some people today. Because, yes, thank God he sent his son. Yes, Jesus is our Savior. Yes, he is our Lord. Yes, he's going to live and die, live a sinless life and die a cruel death on a cross. But the thing was, the answer to man's anguish has come. Adam's failure is about to be undone. That's the thing, amen? And you know, praise God for the thing. I'm saved because of redemption that was paid for by Jesus. That's the thing. So let's see this thing that the angels have mentioned. Now, one other chapter. Flip all the way back to the book of Revelation. Chapter, one of my favorites, 19. And we're going to begin reading Revelation 19 at verse 5. The beginning, it's kind of hard to start in the middle. The beginning is about God's righteous judgment on the harlot and the people saying, "Hallelujah, you know, you're righteous for judging them." And verse 5, "And then a voice came from the throne saying, 'Praise our God, all you servants and those who fear him, both small and great.'" Now, this voice is coming from the throne, but it's saying, "Praise our God." So who is it? Is God saying that about himself? Is it Jesus? Is it the Holy Spirit? I'll let you figure that out. I don't have the answer. I just noticed that it was a voice coming from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." "And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as a sound of many waters, and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, 'Alleluia! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns.'" Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. He reigns! He reigns! He reigns! I don't know about you, but when I see the headlines, some of the things that have been happening in the world, when I see all of the politics going on, the strife, the hatred, it makes me feel like he doesn't reign. I know he does. And yet God, in his infinite patience, will allow man to continue down the path. We'll see all of the events of the book of Revelation come to pass, just as he said, as the seals are opened one by one. But it will reach a crescendo. There you go. And in chapter 19, that's where we're at. We're at that event where it's all done now. And he reigns. He reigns. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah! The Lord God omnipotent reigns. You know, he does reign today. He does reign today. Just because the headlines don't look like it, he reigns. He's still on the throne. He's still in control. He's still in charge. The angels are still coming and going on Jacob's ladder between heaven and earth, and on assignments. Amen. And he reigns. And so then the announcement comes, let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. What a glorious, glorious transition from Luke 2 to this verse here. Because everything happens on God's timetable. In the fullness of time, God sent his Son. When the time was right, the angel announced his birth. When he said the right cue, the rest of the angels did a glorious light show for the shepherds. At the right time, Jesus breathed his last breath and gave up his spirit. The third day he rose, and then after 50 days he ascended to heaven, and he's coming again very soon. But before that event happens, you and I will be part of another huge event, an event recorded in Revelation 19, an event that we will be there because of the blood of Christ that makes us worthy to be called the righteousness of the saints. And on that cue, on that day, another angel will make an announcement. Hallelujah to God. I said another angel will make another announcement. They are the messengers and the heralds of good news. And the messages recorded for us right here in verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. Woo! Hallelujah. Am I the only one that's getting happy this morning? I'm glad that Jesus came not just to save me from the flames of hell, but to invite me to a wedding. And I am the bride, and you are the bride. And his blood has made us ready. How do you make yourself ready for a holy God? If it's by any act that I have to do, I am going to fail. And so I believe that it is the righteousness of Christ. And my hope and faith in this glorious thing that was announced to the shepherds on this time we celebrate as Christmas, this thing that they said, we got to go see this thing. It is the redemption of man. It is my salvation and yours. And we are invited to a wedding because of this thing, our redemption in the blood of Jesus Christ. Glory to God. And the Lamb, the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her, it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. You know, this is interesting to me because it does differentiate now. We're there because of our righteousness. We made ourselves ready by putting our faith in Jesus Christ. But as my grandmother used to say, you know, that faith without works is dead. She quoted that a lot. And back in the holiness movement, they really believed if you were saved, you would be doing something for the Lord. And, you know, and I thank God for each one of you, because I know every one of you here have done something for the Lord in our little church. You know, not everybody's a preacher, not everybody's a song leader. But, you know, when Judy shows up with donuts, she's doing that as unto the Lord, because she knows it's the Lord's house. And Eddie's reading, and I could go on and on. Every one of you here have done things. And you know, when you are saved, you want to do something for the Lord. It's just in your nature. And so thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for that. But I know this is a relatively short sermon, and I'm going to wrap it up here pretty quick. But I want to remind you guys that no matter what you're facing, God is in control. Amen? And everything that happens is orchestrated by the Holy Spirit on time. Amen? On time. And when you read the Psalms, when David is fleeing from Saul or Absalom, and he cries out, oh Lord, deliver me, you know. He was delivered, but he wasn't delivered the day he prayed it, was he? And when Hannah prayed and was ridiculed because she was barren, there was a day and an hour when that changed. And so just because our prayers may not get answered on a particular day or a particular time, we can be sure, hallelujah, that God is on the throne, that He's sending angels on assignment for you and for me. I look forward to meeting my angel someday. I don't know what it'll be like. Maybe you'll have big ears like me. Yeah, well, we'll send you to Roger. You guys look like twins or something. I don't know. But I'm sure he will tell me of some of his assignments. And you know that time when this happened and that happened and you were so far down, you didn't know it, but I was over here doing this so that this person would do this, so that that would happen. Think about it. We read in Ephesians how much God loves us. How much. I mean, the breadth and depth of heights of God's love. And yet we can still have bad days. We can still have questions. It's legitimate to have questions. But we need to remember that God is on the throne. Hallelujah. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. And He has angels. And in the fullness of time, everything will happen exactly as the Lord has said. Amen. Come on up, Miss Nola. Praise God. Hallelujah. As Nola's coming. Now the angel is told to John to dictate. You know, anytime someone says, you know, you've seen the movies where the big executive has the secretary come in here, Sally or whatever, you know, take a memo, write this down, right? And the angel says to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then he said to me, And I imagine, you know, he's like, write this down. And then he said to me, it means like, and then he stopped and he turned and he looked right into my eye. And he said, these are the true sayings of God. When we're there, we're going to be part of an elite group of people that are so blessed to be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And all of that will be because we have put our faith and trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The world may hear this sermon and roll their eyes. Maybe you're listening over the internet right now, and maybe you believed at one time and you've become frustrated. Maybe your prayers weren't answered when you thought they should be. And you said, this Jesus thing, just a bunch of fairy tales. The reason why God says this, write this down, is because nobody said trusting God would be easy. Think about it. I think every one of us know what that means. See, we're here maybe with scars, battle bruises, history. But we don't quit. We hold on. We believe. And not everybody will make it. That's a sad thing to say. And I hate even verbalizing it. But not everybody will make it. But we believe. And so he said, write it down. And then he said, this is a true saying from God, that the people who make it to the marriage supper of the Lamb, they're the blessed. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. I realize this wasn't a lot about Christmas as much as it was about the marriage supper of the Lamb, but the point is, just as those events from 2,000 years ago happened on cue, so will all the other events, including the catching away of the church and the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so this morning, Lord, as we bow our hearts in prayer, we thank you for this thing called salvation. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for his birth, his sinless life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and his promise that he is coming again. This morning we thank you, Lord, for our souls that you've saved, are knit together with you in heaven. Our name is written in heaven, and we have an appointment with the throne room and with a marriage and with a banquet and with our King. And it is documented. We are blessed to be there. Forgive us for any sins, Lord, we haven't remembered or spoken. Wash us afresh in the blood and keep our eyes on you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Merry Christmas. I love you guys.